Welcome to Muffliato, a Harry Potter podcast where we fill your ears to prevent you from hearing nearby conversations. I'm Josh.
And I'm Blake, and today in this bonus episode, we answer Harry Potter-related Would You Rather questions, part two. You guys wanted it, so here it is. This is going to be a bonus episode packed with just some random conversations. Josh, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed that last episode we did for Would You Rathers.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. And I don't mean, you know, to toot our own horns, fantastic, but the conversation was fantastic. I enjoyed it. And I think that it was just some conversations that, Blake, you and I have never had before, which is always fun because sometimes it can be a bit unique to find a couple conversation topics that we've never had. So
yes, good. That is very true. And today we might have some more of that. Now, these questions, like we mentioned in the first episode, come from a blog we found, kidpillar.com. So the link will be there if you wanted to check out rest of the questions. But Josh, I think I might have started last time, so I think we should just jump on into it. You start with your first question.
Would you rather be a half giant like Hagrid or part goblin like Professor Flitwick? Now, Blake, I don't know about you, but I definitely was surprised to learn that Flitwick was part goblin, although it does make a little bit of sense with some of the ways that he is portrayed. And J.K. Rowling does state, we've had this on online, that Flitwick does have a dash of goblin blood. So I don't think we know that he's half goblin, but part goblin. So would you rather be a half giant like Hagrid or a part goblin like Flitwick?
Well, thinking about this question, I think, you know, what we get in the films is that both, you know, giants, goblins, they kind of get a bad rap, right? They come with some baggage. Now, I think I'm leaning more towards going part goblin just because giants, I feel like, are incredibly, I guess, they're outcasts, right? And I think, you know, the way that everybody treats Hagrid, like, you know, what if once they find out that he's half giant, like, you know, if he doesn't have the protection of Dumbledore and, you know, others, man, like, you know, you would be just cast out, kind of treated almost like a werewolf, right? Like, you know, just don't even touch me. Don't come near me. You're a danger to society. But like, clearly he's not. So there's that angle that I was thinking about, being like, okay, I think I lean towards more kind of part goblin. And the other one is that, you know, Hagrid's, like, his size is like really large, and that's, you know, that's hard sometimes, right? You can't get into places or, you know, chairs and things like that. I just feel like, you know, part goblin, like, you know, Professor Flitwick, he just gets by a lot easier than Hagrid. So I think I go towards being part goblin.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Blake. And I was thinking through those exact same things. And, you know, you definitely hear about people who are far smaller than Hagrid, people like professional basketball players and other extremely tall people, and just how the world is not built for someone their size. It can be really hard flying on planes and all those other things. My one thing that kind of balanced things in my mind, though, was Hagrid's not doing this, like, without magic, right? He's able to live in a world where he's able to adjust certain things because of magic.
Yes, that is true.
And I think that would be more so the case if we're assuming that in both of these situations, we are fully qualified as opposed to Hagrid. I think that would be a big difference.
That would be a good kind of, I guess, you know, thing to go into this question with is thinking, hey, you're both qualified wizards, you know, in each of them.
Now, the other thing I'm pondering as I think about this question is the relationship between wizards and goblins seems even more strained than between wizards and giants, although there's not the same level of fear. So you're exactly right that I think if you're a half giant, people are really going to be afraid of you and people are going to cast you out. But we learned from the books that wizards and goblins do not like each other. And so I'm really curious how that even works. Like, is Flitwick's family just ostracized from both sides? People just don't like him, wizards or goblins? I'm just really not sure.
Yeah.
Plus, also, if you're so in the books, We do see that Hagrid's abilities as a giant can really protect him from certain things, like his skin protects from certain spells.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about that, Josh, thinking that actually might sway me back towards being a giant, is how, you know, he is protected from, you know, most spells, like initial stand spells, you know, multiple people need to come to him. Whereas I wonder if being a smaller individual makes you more prone to potentially, you know, spells. But like, you know, obviously goblins have their own inherent magical ability, but the thick skin of a giant comes in pretty handy if you're in the line of dangerous work, right? If you're, you know, in sort of as a dragon handler, you know, or you know, you're probably going to be a lot safer as a half giant. So that might push me more back towards being a half giant like Hagrid. But it's a difficult question.
Yeah, it really is. And I think the last reason why it's quite difficult is that I'm just like, well, I guess because we're not exposed to many half giants in the books, probably only Metamaxine and Hagrid. It's really interesting to think, okay, how are these people so smart? And you might be thinking they're sitting there thinking, rather, what indication do we have that Hagrid is smart? Well, let's just compare him with Grop, who was a full giant. So I just feel like it does that part of the genetics just dominate the giant part completely? Because while Hagrid isn't always the brightest of light bulbs, Metamaxine sure seems to be. And so, you know, Hagrid just seems to be of regular intelligence, not poor or excellent one way or the other. And so is that always the case? Because I would hate to be a half giant, but be far more on the Grop side of things than on the Hagrid side of things, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we don't want to be a half Grop. That's for sure. No, you know. So I think, yeah, that's a tricky thing. I think almost like they get their size and kind of natural abilities coming from, you know, the thick skin from the giants, but then they get the sort of normal, I guess, comprehension and understanding of like a human half.
Cool. And so with those rules, Blake, I'm going half giant.
You're going half giant. Okay. Maybe I just have to leave this undetermined. It's a very tricky decision for me. Maybe I'll be half giant too, so we at least can be half giants together, Josh.
And start a little community so little that community. Hagrid's not alone.
There you go. You, me, and Hagrid. That's
love it.
You know, there's an adventure there. All right. Well, let's jump over to my first question. And Josh, would you rather have the Sword of Gryffindor or command over the Basilisk?
Well, Blake, you do know that I am a Slytherin.
I am aware of that failure in you. Yes.
And while that might seem to indicate that I would love to have control over the Basilisk, I'm really struggling to figure out how one uses the Basilisk away from the Chamber of Secrets. Mm-hmm. So that's my first question, is that it seems like an occupational hazard to be dealing with a basilisk if you're not in a specific place. The second thing is I'm really struggling to think, what can you do except cause havoc, chaos, and be evil with the basilisk? Are there any other options for you? And so I've got to go with the Sword of Gryffindor.
I go the other way in the sense that I see, what can the Sword of Gryffindor do outside of just being a normal sword with a few, you know, extra properties? And I actually lean more towards, I would rather have command over the basilisk, because I feel like it's a more functional and it's a better option out of the two, that you get more out of it. Now, I do agree with you that, you know, there are limitations or there's things that we, you know, you might have to overcome with dealing with a basilisk. But, you know, let's say at least the eyes get blown out and it can only hear things rather than have that kind of petrification or like instant death ability with looking into its eyes. So if we kind of got rid of that, like, you know, it's this great big snake that if you had, you know, perfect control over it, you sort of hope maybe you could use it as a bit of transport. Maybe it could, you know, haul around some, you know, I'm trying to think, how do we put this basilisk to work in a positive way? So So I think
you're just trying to rehabilitate the basilisk.
I'm trying to rehabilitate the basilisk. It's had a hard life. Man. Let us make sure that it's, you know, maybe it's just the masters and the owners putting it through all this pain that makes it so nasty. Mm. So let's bring some love in this situation and hope the basilisk is raised up and nurtured, right? So you know, it's not necessarily the basilisk of Chamber of Secrets. Maybe there was a second, you know, basilisk, and that's the one we want to show love to. So I think I'm going to go that way because there's more of an ability there or more of a benefit.
See, yeah, and I'm going, you know, the Sword of Gryffindor, we never really see it used as a
bread knife.
I guess once more. Peeling my apples, all these different things, right? I think only once do we really see it used as a weapon in the sense that, like, it was a very traditional way of using it, and that was probably to kill the basilisk. The other times we see it to defeat Horcruxes, and I would say that it would probably come in extreme handy if you were ever faced with a magical beast that you had to deal with of any kind, because whenever there's magic involved, the Sword of Gryffindor seems to kind of neutralize that magic effect. Now, the thing I would be worried about, Blake, and this would be probably the biggest weakness as I see it. I think there are lots of uses for it, but the biggest weakness I think would be, does the Sword of Gryffindor disappear on me when I don't want it to? That could be risky. All of a sudden, I'm holding it, and then some other Gryffindor's got it.
Some other Gryffindor is found worthy, and the sword vanishes from you.
And I'm like, okay, I really needed that.
I tell you what, my basilisk won't disappear.
You might disappear because it'll eat you, but the basilisk won't.
That is true. The basilisk wouldn't. Oh, that's great, Josh.
All right, I think it's my turn then, Blake. Would you rather have Fred and George as an enemy or Draco Malfoy as a friend? Would you rather be the enemy or the target of Fred and George, or would you rather be Crab and Goyle, I guess?
that's a risky thing to be the enemy of Fred and George, because you know, the amount of, I guess, knowledge they have at pranking is unbelievable. So I feel like your life would be made, you know, into almost a living hell, because you've been, you know, essentially on the wrong side of all these pranks in your day-to-day school life. I think that would be really difficult. Now, you know, I lean more towards, obviously, because of that, lean more towards Draco Malfoy as a friend, because that kind of means that he's just, you know, I'm hoping he's just one of my friends, and I don't need to spend, you know, maybe too much time around him. But I feel like it's probably better to be on the friend side of Draco Malfoy, so he doesn't start ridiculing you and, you know, going after you like he does with Harry Potter. I'd almost lean towards that, Josh.
Yeah. I get you. I think, you know, if we're allowed to, you know, never says best friends, never says only friend. I think I'd have to agree with that. You know, if we are like I would be just a normal everyday Slytherin trying to do the right thing and just be proud to wear the green and silver. So
you're saying you're not setting any basilisks on anyone.
Not setting any basilisks on anybody. I think I'd have to choose to be Draco Malfoy's friend, because being Fred and George's enemy, we saw where that got Umbridge. And what's that place?
Yeah, it did not go over well for her. So I think we're both in agreement that maybe Draco Malfoy as a friend, it's not as the friend, you know, the only friend that you have. So we're going to take that as just one of our friends. And that probably gets us maybe more so in the good books of Professor Snape, right? If, you know, Malfoy's a friend rather than an enemy, hopefully that helps us. But yeah, we'll see. All right, Josh, would you rather spend every weekend with the Malfoys or have Christmas with Argus Filch for the next 10 years?
Okay. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, Blake, is this Christmas Day only?
I'm going to, because I feel like the sense of every weekend is quite heavy in the Malfoys' favor, that I do lean towards Christmas with Argus Filch. So I'm going to say it's the Christmas season, kind of that Christmas period. So
you're really, you're, oh man, for, that for is, there's no winning there.
Yeah. So
oh,
maybe that's a week, Josh, you know, kind of, okay. You know, 3-4
well,
days
well, let's,
by the Christmas. We'll see.
Let's assume it's the Christmas break, like you're at Hogwarts. So probably 2 weeks.
Cool. Perfect.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Wow. Where do you think this is, Blake? Where am I spending it with Argus Filch?
I mean, you know, I can't imagine that Argus Filch has a house on the outside, you know, somewhere nice. If he did have it, I think it probably wouldn't be the, well, I was going to say it probably wouldn't be the nicest looking house, but, you know, with no students traipsing mud through his house, he might actually keep his house pretty clean. I don't know. You know, it's a different thought, a different side thought there. But I would say either he comes to your house or you go to his house, you know, maybe like a alternating years.
Okay. The answer I was looking for was, is there any chance we get to go to Hogwarts? That was the question I was really after, but okay. I think I'm going to go with Argus Filch.
Argus Filch. I think
I'm just going to land on that. Have to too. Celebrate a different holiday also with my family other than Christmas, because clearly Christmas won't be much of a celebration.
Yes. Yes. Surely there is enough magical holidays, you know, throughout the year that you can celebrate. Oh. Now
that is one of the toughest ones we've done, I think.
Yeah,
I just can't. There's just so much time at the Malfoys. Like,
yeah,
it's like 500 weekends.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's a really long time. You know, you think once kind of one period every year, or you know, 52 periods through the year, right? Like, just,
yeah. So if we assume that it is 2 weeks long, we're talking about 140 days with Argus Filch, or we're talking about 1,040 days on the weekends with the Malfoys.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of those weekends, like, there could be the potential for having a sort of good time with the Malfoys.
So going back to my previous answer, Blake, am I still Draco Malfoy's friend?
Ooh, okay. That's a good point. I think
because maybe we're going to really fancy hotels and places every weekend.
That's true. That's true.
They have money.
They do have money. So I feel like you've almost got to come in as like the standard student, not necessarily
not a Slytherin.
Friend, okay. But not an enemy of Draco. Right. You know,
I'm staying with my answer then. If I was a friend of Draco's / a Slytherin, I think I might change my answer. But if we're just kind of regular, So I'm sticking with Argus.
Yeah, no, I think if you had to look at the fact that your weekends as well were being taken away, like, we haven't mentioned that in the sense that, you know, you now have no
free weekends
to do anything else except hang out with the Malfoys, which wouldn't be the greatest, because their family dynamic just seems not, you know, not to be the best. So, you know, it might rub off on you in the wrong way, and that's probably not the best. So I think we both lie with the Argus Filch for Christmas, and that's, you know, it's not going to be a pleasant 10 years, but at least we'll have our Christmases after that.
Yeah, that's such a great point that we kind of overlooked, Blake, is that you could literally do like nothing you wanted on the weekend for 10 years, even if it was fun with the Malfoys. That would be so inconvenient. All right, my turn. Would you rather, Blake, be a house prefect or captain of the Quidditch team?
House prefect or captain? I'm going to have to go captain of the Quidditch team. You know, for someone who I love the Quidditch sport, I think there's probably... there's almost more, because they're still allowed to use, like, I think similar benefits of the prefects as well.
Correct.
And I would say that there's more respect almost that comes through to being the captain of the Quidditch team, because most people, if not all students, love Quidditch. So being the captain of your team would just garner you with more like respect, praise, and that sort of thing. Like, I feel like I would... I'm definitely going captain of the Quidditch team.
Okay. So Blake, I'm not truly disagreeing with you yet. I'm not sure what my final answer is going to be, but my couple reservations would be that the role of Quidditch captain seems to be by far the higher pressure job.
True.
Especially if you're in like a Quidditch crazy place like Hogwarts, to have that kind of pressure to pick the team, to avoid any hint of favoritism, to potentially let your friends down because you can't pick them. I think Harry gets more gray hairs from being Quidditch captain than fighting Voldemort. I'm just going to say it. Probably. It seems like a very stressful part of his life.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you're deterring me from my answer, but I definitely think you raise some good points. I just think even with those, the idea of captain of the Quidditch team just seems a bit cooler to me than house prefect. But okay. Mind you, yes, because you know there are multiple house prefects, so you're definitely...
Well, and you're kind of implementing the rules by the teachers. It's not as though you're coming up with things by yourself.
No, that is true, yeah.
The other thing I would say, Blake, is that... We do have a pretty wide range, I think, for how long someone could be Quidditch captain. You know, Harry was made captain over some more senior players in Gryffindor, which they seem to be fine with. Oliver Wood was captain for quite a long time, for years at least as well. But there's no guarantee that would be the place. Would you rather be a prefect for 3 years, year 5, 6, and 7, or would you rather be a Quidditch captain for 1 year, Blake?
Oh, okay. You would get me to switch my answer, I think. Yeah, I think I would take being the prefect for 3 years over the Quidditch captain, you know, for one. I think you know, when thinking more of going into sort of the wizarding workforce and, you know, getting a job, I think being a prefect for 3 years would definitely, you know, give you a little bit more, you know, street cred, a little bit of a wizarding world cred into your name, being the fact that you've been a house prefect. So I would, in that way that you phrased it, that question, I think I would switch to being the house prefect.
I think I would choose prefect as well. I think the Quidditch captain would be a great job, but I also think that it just might ruin Quidditch for me. You know, I want to keep Quidditch all in the fun realm, and I don't want to be thinking late at night. Do I go with Ginny or Dean, or how is their relationship going to affect my team? Oliver Wood seems like a very stressed out guy. I mean, I've already said how I think it affects Harry. So that's my vote.
I like it. I think definitely you have to think that, you know, you might lose some of your love for Quidditch. I mean, if you're captain, I guess you have such a persevering love for it. But yeah, you definitely can't just relax at a Quidditch game and enjoy that. Now, Josh, would you rather have Buckbeak or Fawkes as a friend? Buckbeak, the hippogriff, Fawkes, or Fawkes, easily. The phoenix? Really? Okay, that's nice and quick. Yeah. Why?
I don't know. I find Buckbeak extremely inconvenient unless I'm literally living at Hogwarts. I don't even know where I would keep him most of the time.
But then you could ride him.
You could ride him. But if I can apparate, I don't know why I'm riding him very often.
Oh, but then here we go, Josh. You can also ride Fawkes because
he can carry heavy things.
Yes, exactly. He can like lift like, what was it in Chamber of Secrets? Like three people, you know, two sort of one fully grown adult and two True. Students or whatever. So True. That's pretty impressive. No,
I mean, it doesn't sound quite as comfortable, you know, kind of being carried rather than riding, but I would definitely go Fawkes. I think the fascination about phoenixes is something that's pretty high for me. The, I guess, practical benefits is also pretty impressive. You know, phoenix tears have healing powers and whatnot.
Phoenix tears do have healing powers.
As well as the fact that their death and rebirth means that I'm probably going to have a lifetime companion.
Let's be real here. For those of, you know, people out there who have had pets that have needed to be put down, you know, they deal with the loss of that pet, and it's incredibly, incredibly sad. Well, just think about not having to worry about that, right? Like to think here's someone that can just keep coming back. And like you said, lifelong companion. So yeah, Fawkes all the way.
Cool. Okay, we're in agreement there, Blake. All right, Blake, would you rather have a pet owl or a pet cat?
Pet owl. I feel like that would be incredibly useful. And I think I like the idea of Hedwig more than Crookshanks. I think the only way that I would tend to go towards more cat is if they're like, you know, like Crookshanks or something where they're like nice and snuggly, right? And you're getting to experience them as a nice kind of cuddly pet more often than an owl, which would be kind of sleeping a lot and, you know, obviously delivering your mail is handy. But if you're going for that pet life, maybe a cat is better, especially a cat with magical properties.
Yeah, where I kind of land, Blake, is that as cool as owls are, and they're very cool, it's more like a mailman combined with an laptop combined with a working dog. They really don't seem like a very good pet to me at all. they seem very good and convenient and hardworking and effective, but not really like a pet. They seem more like an animal employee. And that's kind of how Harry treats Hedwig is he's like, Hedwig, I need you to do this for me. Not Hedwig, yeah. Let's go and spend any time together.
That is a good point. I think overall, having a pet cat, being that would be, you know, a cat with magical properties, much like how owls have, you know, their own abilities. I think a cat would be better as a pet. That is, they're more of, you know, got that pet substance. An owl is more of something that, you know, does a lot for you. So in the wizarding world as a student, I can definitely understand why people go with owl.
Yes. Yes. No, definitely. And I think ultimately it's less responsibility because you just send your owl to the owlery and you're done.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're not the best looker after of pets, then like definitely Harry. Definitely go with owl because they do most things themselves.
And Blake, I think too, if we remove Hedwig from the conversation, I think we would both say Crookshanks versus Pigwidgeon. I would definitely go with Crookshanks.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Yeah, but Hedwig's just that iconic owl that you think, I would love to have a Hedwig. So understandable.
Well, and I really don't want to make it seem like we are taking away in any way from Hedwig's pretty crazy abilities to always find the delivery.
That's incredible.
Awesome owl. But we are talking pet here. More than just function, we're talking about companion.
Very true. All right, Josh, I have one last question for you, and this is a bit of a heavy one. All right, so prepare yourself, listeners.
Okay,
Josh, would you rather save Fred or Lupin in the Battle of Hogwarts?
Now, just quickly, the listeners don't know this, but the question before that we decided to skip over was, would you rather vomit slugs or have your fart sound like the crying of a mandrake root?
Yeah.
And I thought that was the question that you were saying is going to be really heavy.
Josh, it is incredibly heavy. Give me a quick answer. Would you rather vomit slugs or have your fart sound like the crying of a mandrake root? Hit me, Josh. One word answer.
The farts. I hate vomiting. I hate vomiting so much. All right. So... Oh man, does that mean that my farts like petrify people? Or
yeah,
I hope
it,
not.
It is. It
I
is
guess a, so. Is okay, bad. So Blake, this is extremely tough, and I actually didn't have any problem deciding, even though I'm very conscious that the consequences of my decision are very serious for this other person. In my mind, it's very clear that I would save Lupin, not so much from a character perspective, but because he has a wife and a child, and I think he is more needed by his family than Fred at that point.
Well, there you go, Josh. You just go, you be logic, you know, you have an amazing reason that I can't say anything else. I can't say Fred after that. That makes sense. Even though Fred kind of completes this duo, Lupin needs to be there for his family. So it's at risk
of offending every twin out there, I've still got one of them, right?
Well, not if you're George.
Oh, that would just be like
kidding. It's still just one kidding. If it's one of the triplets, but he's only a twin, so I guess without Fred, this is so sad. We're just laughing about Fred dying. Oh, oh no,
that is very sad death. Very sad death.
I think Lupin. Yeah. I think Lupin because obviously he with what you mentioned with the being a parent, being a husband, but also just the fact that like we do really get close with Lupin, right? And he does a lot for Harry as well, and you know there's connection with both Fred and Lupin, but I think it's got to be Lupin. Now people listening might disagree with us. They might
send us your disagreements.
No way, Fred all the way. And I think with this, I'll definitely, last time we had some great responses to some of these questions that I put on Instagram and just polling who would put with what. But definitely it's going to be interesting to see if more people would save Fred or more people would save Lupin. So watch out for that on Instagram. But thank you for listening to today's episode. If you're an Apple user, don't forget to leave a rating and review. Your support helps keep the magic alive. You can send us questions on our Instagram or email, muffleadopodcast@gmail.com, or use the form on our website at www.muffleadopodcast.com. To continue the adventure, join us next time on Muffleado, a Harry Potter podcast.